Father, we come today, Father, and we do lift up to you any and all who are burdened today in different ways. And Father, we just pray today that you'll take your word and use it in our hearts today, Lord, and just show us afresh really what it is to lean on Jesus and to know that he is truly in control and that he truly will work it all out for his glory. But we've got to relax and we've got to rest in him. So, Lord, we pray today, take your word and use it in our hearts. Use it in a really substantial and amazing way, we pray. In Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We live in a society and in a world today where many, many people are burdened, and that is not exclusive to the people that are out there in the world. It is also a fact of many believers who are burdened almost to the breaking point. And I've just noticed, and I've probably said this before, but I really do, in the last months, I mean, it just seems like so many, even in our own congregation, have been dealing with things that, you know, sometimes something will last a month or two or 3 or 4 months, but I'm dealing with things that just seem to have no end to them, or else that are of such intensity that that we wonder, you know, how much more can we really take? And, of course, we're a praying church, and that helps, and that is such a blessing, and it means so much, and many have expressed that. We do help each other with our prayers. But today we're going to talk about something that we can do, for lack of a better term, for ourselves. Nobody else can do this for you. You can have the church praying for you, but only you can do this that Jesus said. And it seems so simple, and yet we stumble on it. And it's so simple, we stumble on it. But it works. Folks, it works. And I just pray today, the prayer of my heart is that whatever, wherever we are in life, you know, some are younger. You know, the problems of the teenagers aren't the problems of the 20-somethings. And the problems of the 20-somethings aren't the problems of the 30-somethings. And the problems of the 60-somethings, now I'm getting closer to home, aren't the problems of the 80-somethings. But all of us are dealing with different things at various stages, are we not? And people have all kinds of coping mechanisms, and we seek escapes, and we seek diversions, and we seek, you know, and we all have our defenses and our things that we use. But I can guarantee you, and I can tell you, that they all fall short. None of them are adequate. And no matter how practiced we are in these things, there are times when those things just aren't enough. And then we just kind of break, or we crack, or we become indifferent, or we become cynical, or other things happen, or we become discouraged or despondent or whatever, because those things are not adequate. And Jesus gave us such a simple instruction. So let's look at it again today. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's do number one. For those of you who do, you know, I don't know, this is, if you don't mind writing a little bit, this might be one you might want to take home with you. The invitation, I'm just going to call it the invitation, is all inclusive in both scope and time, and has no expiration date. Here we are repeating Jesus' words, you know, about 2,000 years later, and we're still repeating them in the present tense. The command, and it is a command. It's an invitation, but it's also a command. Come unto what? Unto the church? Unto the deacon? Under the spouse, the friend, the advice column writer, the internet, the blog. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And we'll touch on that. But he's the only one that can give us rest. Nobody else can give us rest. Others can help us. Others can advise us. Others can encourage us. And all those things. And even do practical things for us. But nobody can give you rest or give me rest except the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sooner we learn that, the better. The sooner we learn that, the less grief we're going to put ourselves through. Because life is hard. And there are a lot of problems that arise. And a lot of times we're just getting out of one and it seems like there's another and all of that. But he's the only one that can do it. So we come in. But the invitation is all inclusive. I think in the past, a lot of times we have made this primarily an evangelistic verse. Come unto me, all of you who are laden and heavy laden with sin. You're weary and you're burdened with sin. And give your sin to me and I'll cleanse you and I'll forgive you and I'll give you a new life and I'll set you free and I'll break your bondage. Yes, he does that. But it doesn't say sin, does it? So it's not limited to that. I just read recently Watchman Nee on Philippians 4 there, and he talks about that where it says, everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. It says, be anxious for nothing. And he talks about that there, and he says, yes, in the area of sin, we've given our sins to the Lord, and we bear no anxiety, but we still bear all these other anxieties because we give him our sin, but we don't give him all these other things. And so here we are, Christians, here we are, believers, and yet we are still suffering anxiety about finances and health and relationships and all kinds of things, and the Lord did not intend that. And Jesus did not limit that to that. It is wide open in scope, it is wide open in time, and it's just a general invitation. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. Number two, the invitation is both general and personal. Because it says, all you who. So that'd be anybody. But then it gets more specific. Who are weary and burdened. And then it begins to get personal. What is your burden today? Do you have a burden? If you don't have a burden, God bless you. Raise your hands, thank the Lord, praise him for his goodness. And all of that. But if you are weary or you are burdened, then this invitation is for you. And number three, the invitation offers a guaranteed result. Now, I like guaranteed results myself. There aren't many of those in the world. But Jesus says, come unto me and I will, not may, I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. So why then is it that we encounter believers who are going through struggles, and that's legitimate, we all do, but why is it that some of us struggle so much more than others? And I think it is because we have not learned to obey this simple command of simply coming to him. Now, any of you who have had a child, you probably understand this. Your child is in trouble. Your child has been injured. Your child is in some kind of danger. Who do they go running to? They go running to you. At that moment, do you give them a lecture? Or do you take them in your arms? And see, that is what Jesus wants to do for us. If we come to him, how is he going to give me rest? He's just going to let me rest my head on his bosom. And he's just going to let me be there and be safe. And he's going to let me just unburden myself. And he's just going to reassure me with gentle words. And he's just going to give me rest. There may be something I need to know later or something I need to be corrected about or whatever, but that isn't the time for it. And that's what he's going to do. And it's a guaranteed result. So why don't we come? Why do we have Christians still walking around with burdens? Well, the reason is, and we've all been there, I'm sure we have all been there at times, the reason is we don't come. Now, I've got a partial list here. And you know those. We've done them before. But let's just look at a few. These are a few that I've just observed. That's all. Reasons we don't come. You say, well, why wouldn't we come? Reasons we don't come. Number one, we find refuge in other things. Jesus says, come unto me. And we say, just as soon as I finish my video game, just as soon as I finish my favorite comedy, just as soon as I've got this task I've got to do. Some of you are Marthas. You know what I'm talking about? You have to be doing something. Just as soon as I finish this project, I'll come, you know. And we find refuge in all kinds of things. And so we postpone coming. And in postponing coming, we postpone the time when we're going to experience the peace and the rest that he wants to give us. Number two, we're just plain stuck in a pattern. How many ever been on a treadmill? A treadmill, unless you know what you're doing, it's not the easiest thing to get on and off of. That was the hardest thing for me when I started learning how to do a treadmill. That was the trickiest part, getting on and off of that thing. And we just get in that daily grind, and we just get used to it, and we don't even think about coming. And furthermore, we don't think we can. I'm too busy. I'm too tied up. And we just get in a rut. We just get in a pattern. So reason number two is that we're just stuck in a pattern and we just do not, you know, we've kind of become numb to it. And we've just kind of become used to it. And so we're just stuck there. And so we don't come. We just keep living day after day and it doesn't even occur to us. You know, and sometimes we just have to stop and we have to come. Number three, we're too busy proving to ourselves and others that we can handle it. Maybe there aren't any of those here today, but there are people like that in the world. And, I can handle this. Oh, yeah, I can handle this. And we don't want to admit defeat. And we don't want to look like, you know, we can't handle it. Some are just plain too proud to admit, I can't handle this. Is that possible? I think it is. Just plain too proud. Lord, I can't handle this. I tell you what, I'm not too proud. I come to the Lord all the time. Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I'm going to give this to you. But that can be an issue. Number four, we come, but only to question. Now that's a big one. And I don't know what it is in the human psyche. I don't know what it is. Something happens and the first thing we want to do is question it. The first thing we want to do is, why has this happened to me? Why am I doing wrong? Well, let me share a little secret with you. Even if you knew, it wouldn't change anything. And even if you knew, it wouldn't fix it. It has to do with questioning the goodness of God or the timing of something or whatever else. And so we question. The problem is, questioning fixes nothing. And so we come, and we come to the Lord. But instead of coming to Him in order to receive the peace and the rest that He wants to give us, we come to question. Lord, why is this happening to me? I don't understand. I don't understand. And I've met people in my life, they're just so hung up on that, they can't see anything else. I don't understand. I don't understand why a loving God would allow this to happen to one of His children. Sometimes it's not even them. Sometimes it's something they see happening to somebody else. I just don't understand. And instead of coming, we question. We'll never have peace as long as we're in that mode. That's not to say that someday, there's an old hymn that Jack Holcomb used to sing, someday He'll make it plain to me, someday when I His face shall see. But there's some of those things we're never going to know the answer down here. How many believe that's true? So let's stop the questioning and let's just come and find rest in Him. Number five, we're too busy sharing our troubles with everybody else. Lord, I'll come, but let me call these other 10 people here and tell them what's going on with me. I've heard it said of some people, you don't ask them how they are unless you have about 10 or 20 minutes to work with. I was thinking of that old country song. I've got heartaches by the number, troubles by the score. Anyway, some of us kind of live that way. And we thrive on other people, you know, knowing our problems. And I'm not saying there's not a time and a place to share, you know, with someone, pray with me about this. But we would spend our time a whole lot better just coming straight to the Lord with it. Because He's the one that can what? Give us rest. Number six. We feel we failed the Lord in some way, and so that we don't feel we deserve to come. And the old devil is a liar. And he'll tell you you've messed up. He'll tell you because you messed up, now you've got to live with it no matter what. And so out of some heroic sense of duty or this or that, you know, and the old enemy will get you to just keep carrying that burden instead of coming to the Lord. Come to the Lord. If you've done wrong, like I say, at some point He'll tell you, and He'll tell you some things to do to start getting it right. But you can start having His peace right now. Right now, today, as soon as you bring it to Him and really leave it with Him. Can I hear an amen? You really can. Why should we come? Well, there's two big reasons. Number one, it's the only way we're going to find the rest that Jesus promises. You can have your psychologist, psychiatrist, medications, prescriptions, and everything else, but you're not going to find peace. You're not going to find rest until you come to Him and do what He says, because He's the only one who can give you peace. So you're not going to have peace until you really come to Him. You will not have it until you do that. And number two, we have an open and standing invitation from the Master Himself. You had somebody, the owner of the house, says, hey, anytime, drop by one day and we'll, you know, do this or do that. I'll take you out on my boat. Do you like those kind of invitations? If you hear it from the Master Himself, you hear it from the owner himself, you don't have to go through the kids or the employees or anybody else. Hey, you've got the invitation. You know what I mean? And we have got that invitation, and therefore, we should take Him up on it. How should we come? Here's a few ways. Like a child, in simple faith and trust. If we come and we don't come this way, it's not going to do us a whole lot of good. And you know, Jesus talked an awful lot about that. He says to a little child, come here. And then He stands him in the middle. He says to the disciples now, He's looking at these guys, He says, you've got to become like this child. If you don't, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's how we got to come. Number two, just as we are. Everybody that Jesus encountered in His ministry while He was down here, you know how they came to Him? Just as they were. We don't have to wait until this is right and that is right and something else is right. We can come right now. And we need to come just as we are. If there's any changing to be done, He will be able to do it. But we come as we are. Number three, come promptly and come willingly. I'll GC isn't here to hear me. He might hear it later on the CD. And I don't mean to pick on him, but how many know GC Castelo? And some time ago, he did not want to have this knee surgery. He didn't want to come to the surgery. Right? But his words a couple weeks ago, when he was here on crutches, you know what his words were to me? I waited too long. I could have had this done a while back, and I could have avoided some unnecessary pain and suffering. Now, in this realm we're talking about this morning, how many along with me have made that same mistake over and over? Oh, well, it'll be better tomorrow. Well, when this happens, and we keep, and so we don't come. And so then by the time we come, we are just about ready to be launched into outer space or something. It doesn't need to be that way. We come promptly and willing. We come right now. We come before it becomes, you know, a really, really big thing. Number four, with total abandon. Because I can fully trust my Lord Jesus Christ. I know that He fully loves me. When Jesus came to the Father, did He not come with total abandon? You know why? Because He fully trusted the Father and He knew that He was fully loved by the Father. You hear it in His prayers. When He's at Lazarus' tomb, He says, Father, I knew that You always hear me, but I'm just saying this so these people here will hear it and know that You really did send me. But I know You hear me every time I come. And that's the way that we need to come to Him. Number five, as often as needed. We want to come. And then it's like when we go and stock up at Sam's, you know, and we got enough detergent for the next 6 months, you know. And we want to come and then we want to be good. No, you may have to come 6 times a day. What do you think about that? Come as often as necessary. Because it's in the coming that you experience the rest. And the more continuously that you come, the more continuously you will experience His rest. And is the invitation open-ended? Does He put a limit on how many times we can come? I don't see one. And I've never had Him say, now, Amos, you've come one time too many here. You got to save them up and wait till Saturday to bring anything else. I'm glad it's not that way. No, come as often as necessary. Number six, do come with a teachable spirit. Sometimes we come and the Lord does have a gentle word for us. And then we don't want to hear it. But come with a teachable spirit. And of course, with humility. That's number seven. With humility and gratitude. And be sure each time to thank the Lord as well for what He has done. I was just thinking as I worked on this some days back, how many of the, especially the old Psalms, really in some way address this. Here's one we used to sing when I was a kid. And probably when some of you were. And excuse me if I get a little emotional. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. Aren't those wonderful words? I must tell Jesus. I must tell who? Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Whoever wrote that song got it. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Some of you may remember John W. Peterson. He was well known. He was a prolific songwriter back, especially in the 60s. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meet him at the throne of mercy. He is waiting for you there. No one understands like Jesus when the days are dark and grim. No one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on him. Now we go down south to really, really low, low, low Alabama. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. How many know the chorus? Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry and answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer wheel turning and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Many of you have heard me say that maybe over the years that Stuart Hamblin is probably my favorite hymn writer of all time. He was saved around 1948 when I was about a year old in one of Billy Graham's early crusades. He was a radio personality out on the West Coast and a rather foul-mouthed one, from what I understand, before he came to know the Lord. But he got under such conviction, he came and found Billy Graham about 2 o'clock in the morning, beaten on his hotel door, and there he became a new creature in Christ. He wrote songs like This Old House, Until Then, and It Is No Secret What God Can Do. And he wrote a whole lot of other lesser-known songs. And when Barbara and I were going together, I had a few records, and she had some. And she had one by Stuart Hamblin called A Visit with Stuart Hamblin. But I noticed on the back of that jacket, this one wasn't written by Stuart. This one was written by his wife, Susie. And I've asked Bill if he'll play that for us today. God's truth is still true, isn't it? One last song here. And I believe this is a John W. Peterson song too. How long has it been since you talked to the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? So my Christian friend today, whatever it is, and if it seems bigger than you are, or if the uncertainty of the situation is killing you, or if just the weight of it seems like it's about to overwhelm you, I would just invite you to do what Jesus said today. And that is to come unto him and let him take care of it. So we're going to pray here in a minute. And I'm just going to suggest to you that as we pray, maybe you've got something that you need to bring to him. And most of all, just bring him yourself. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you that it's for us, just like this song just told us. It's for us. It says he means it for you. Sometimes we think you meant it for somebody else. You mean it for us. It's us you want to help. It's our burden you want to lift. But you need for us to come to you. So I pray this morning to get rid of the barriers, Lord. Whatever it might be that's kept us, some false security that we've latched onto, or some idea that we don't deserve, or whatever else might be standing in the way. And that you would take it away and let us just come and experience the rest that Jesus promised, because he said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me that I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. So Lord, help us to just come today and help us to find that rest, and then help us to keep coming as often as we need to until we begin to experience your rest on a pretty continual basis. And it will be such a difference, and it will be such a blessing in our lives, and it will be such a blessing even to the people around us when we begin to find the rest in you that you intended for us to have. And thank you that we don't have to prove a thing. All we have to do is prove you by coming and seeing you honor your word. We thank you, and we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.